he nevertheless, at the end of 6 months, accepted his sister's permanent presence as an accomplished fact, and as Catherine grew older, perceived that there were, in effect, good reasons why she should have a companion of her own imperfect sex. He was extremely polite to Lavinia, scrupulously, formally polite, and she had never seen him in anger but once in her life, when he lost his temper in a theological discussion with her late husband. With her he never discussed theology, nor, indeed, discussed anything. He contented himself making known, very distinctly, in the form of a lucid ultimatum, his wishes with regard to Catherine. Once, when the girl was about 12 years old, he had said to her, "Try and make a clever woman of her, Lavinia. I should like her to be a clever woman." Mrs. Penniman, at this, looked thoughtful a moment. "My dear Austin," she then inquired, "do you think it is better to be clever than to be good?"
"Good for what?" asked the doctor.
"You are good for nothing unless you are clever." From this assertion, Mrs. Penniman saw no reason to dissent. She possibly reflected that her own great use in the world was owing to her aptitude for many things.
"Of course, I wish Catherine to be good," the doctor said the next day,
"but she won't be any less virtuous for not being a fool. I am not afraid of her being wicked. She will never have the salt of malice in her character. She is as good bread, as the French say. But 6 years hence, I won't want to have to compare her to good bread and butter."
"Are you afraid she will be insipid?"
"My dear brother, it is I who supply the butter, so you needn't fear," said Mrs. Penniman, who had taken in hand the child's accomplishments, overlooking her at the piano, where Catherine displayed a certain talent, and going with her to the dancing class, where it must be confessed that she made but a modest figure. Mrs. Penniman was a tall, thin, fair, rather faded woman, with a perfectly amiable disposition, a high standard of gentility, a taste for light literature, and a certain foolish indirectness and obliquity of character. She was romantic. She was sentimental. She had a passion for little secrets and mysteries, a very innocent passion, for her secrets had hitherto always been as unpractical as addled eggs. She was not absolutely virtuous, but this defect was of no great consequence, for she had never had anything to conceal. She would have liked to have a lover, and to correspond with him under an assumed name, in letters left at a shop. I am bound to say that her imagination never carried the intimacy further than this.